We'll invite you to turn with me now in God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Open your Bibles as you have them at your house and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin our reading at verse 20 and then read through the 26th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And would ask you to keep your Bibles open before you as we look back into God's Word together today. Hear now the Word of God. Let us read this Word together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in its own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, and after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this day commemorates and celebrates. We thank you for this passage that is before us, and we pray, God, that your Spirit would enable us to better understand this passage so that we may come away from this morning with a new hope. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that you realize that what we're living through at the moment is something that will one day be written about in history books. One day, Lord willing, you will tell your grandkids about the spring of 2020 when the world shut down. For generations to come, what we're going through right now will be analyzed, discussed, and cussed. Documentaries will retell, rehash, and revise the story of the great COVID-19 outbreak and pandemic of 2020. Now, as tempting as it would be to dwell on the weight of this global pandemic, today is Easter Sunday. So why don't we take a few moments and step back and see this pandemic in perspective? Today, there is a far greater historical moment you need to be thinking about. As a matter of fact, today commemorates and celebrates the most significant event in the history of the world, in the history of the universe. This event is, of course, the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, everything in the Bible you have before you, everything in your faith, every reason you have to hope this morning rests on what we celebrate today. As a matter of fact, if there's not a specific point in actual space, time, and history when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if there's not, at the end of the day, what we're doing this morning is nothing more than a waste of time. And if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, then that Bible you have open before you, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Yes, the stakes are just that high. Now, you may be asking the question, where'd you get that from? Well, I got it from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Let's read beginning at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and you'll see what I mean. Look at verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have this hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So think about that. You see, the resurrection is a big deal after all. And to help you better understand the significance of what we're celebrating today, let's consider two realities in this text. And the first reality is this. There's the reality of a potent problem we all have. That's the first reality, a potent problem that we all have. Now, as we battle this coronavirus pandemic, there's another much greater threat than COVID-19 affecting us. Dr. Amish Adeya, an infectious disease expert from Johns Hopkins University, said Monday, and I quote here, "Because there's no population immunity, we're going to see a lot of infections in the United States. Maybe you know over 40% of the population may become infected with this virus. Almost half of what was considered at one time to be a very healthy United States of America." The Bible tells us, however, that the rate of another far greater catastrophic pathogen is not 40%, but 100%. We hear a lot these days about mitigation steps we can take to help stop the spread of COVID-19. But as far as mitigation is concerned, when it comes to this other plague the Bible talks about, there's no length of social distancing, no face mask preventing you from catching this greater virus. There's no need to be tested because you already got it. And so have I, and so do your parents, and so do your spouses, and so do your children, and your siblings, and your friends, and your enemies, and your colleagues, and your neighbors. They've all got it. And no matter how many times we sing happy birthday while we wash our hands with soap and water, we cannot wash away this catastrophic disease. You can drench your hands in hand sanitizer. You cannot touch your face. No impact. The medical profession has no vaccine for this catastrophic disease, and medical science will never develop a vaccine to prevent this greater disease. And here's the bad news. There's a 100% chance that you and I will die from this disease. You know, if you've even read past chapter 3 of this book right here, you probably already know that you suffer from this condition. Today is a good day for us to remind ourselves of this disastrous condition in which we find ourselves, an incurable condition, regardless of the best efforts by the best medical scientists throughout the world. So what is this calamitous condition from which we all suffer? It's this. This condition is something known as, in one word, mortality. Mortality. From the moment we're born in this fallen planet, this fallen world, our bodies of flesh and blood are infected from head to toe with mortality. No matter what nutritious foods you eat, no matter how many vitamins you take, no matter how many medicine warriors you dispatch into your bodies to fight this infection, we cannot avoid the inconvenient truth that starting with the first steps we take as children, as toddlers, every step we're taking is taking us closer to death. Beloved, for us, our mortality is bad news. We see this bad news in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, and 21. Notice the first half of both verses. "For by a man came death," verse 22. "For as in Adam, all die." If you go way back to Genesis chapter 2, God connects two kinds of mortality, two kinds of death. As God warns Adam, he says, "Adam, you are free to eat from every tree in the garden, every tree. But there's one tree you must not eat of. This is my command. And if you break that command," now listen carefully to what God tells Adam. He says, "dying, you shall die." In other words, dying spiritually, you will die physically. Adam, our shared ancestor, disobeyed God's clear command. And you and I share Adam's DNA. You see, it's clear in Genesis 3, when Adam fell, we fell. Romans 5, it says, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men." You see, in a real garden, in real time, Adam fell. Now, a question that often comes up and is discussed is this: when Adam fell, well, how far did he fall? Well, the answer to that question depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to a liberal in a liberal church, he would say this: well, you know, Adam fell upward. He asserted his independence. He became his own man, a better, fuller version of himself, a more complete person, the captain of his ship, the master of his fate. Friends, if you watch even 10 minutes of local news and you still actually believe a fallen person is a better, fuller person, a more complete person than Adam was before Genesis 3, if you think people are basically born good and getting better every day in every way, I have some really nice beachfront property in Nebraska to sell you. And while we're at it, I have a herbal supplement to sell you that guarantees that you'll never catch COVID-19. You see, only the very gullible think that people living on this side of Genesis 3 are better than those living on this side of Genesis 3. Liberals think Adam fell upward. Now, if you're talking with some professing Christians in some churches and some denominations, they'll say something like this. I call them sola bootstrapsa people. These people say, yeah, Adam fell, but when he fell over a cliff, he grabbed something on top of the cliff. He held on, and even though he's on the edge of the cliff, if Adam and his ancestors would just exert enough self-will, enough strength, we can pull ourselves up to the top and once again stand on solid ground. It's called self-redemption, salvation by works, working your way to heaven. Maybe with a little help from God, maybe with a little help from our friends, we can pull ourselves up. People, we got this. Let's do it. But then there's this third group of people. I know these people bother the other two groups, but that's too bad. This third group of people have actually read this book. They believe what the Bible says about how far Adam fell. You'll hear from this third group of people the gospel truth that when Adam fell, he fell all the way to the bottom of the pit. Spiritually speaking, Adam died on impact. Years later, Adam also died physically. And since we are all descendants of Adam, all members of the Adam family, we are born spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. In fact, the Bible's autobiography of us in Ephesians 2:1 doesn't say we were not living up to our potential, or that we're fallen, but somehow by our own efforts we can pull ourselves up by our own devices. Now the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, listen carefully to these words. You were dead in trespasses and sins. See, here's the dreaded diagnosis. This world is one vast spiritual graveyard. Every person apart from Christ is, spiritually speaking, a corpse. A zombie. By nature, by choice, we're spiritually dead. Even though our deadness, as far as physical is concerned, to use a word in the vogue today, is asymptomatic. And because we all carry this sin virus, even on a good day, when you exercise, when you're taking 10,000 steps, each step is taking you closer to the end of your life. Words of Mark Twain. He once observed, the statistics on death are quite impressive. He said, I read the other day that one out of one people dies sooner or later. Of course, our mortality is front page news these days. We read the death numbers. We see numbers every day, how many more people have passed away. But our mortality, please understand, is not something ultimately caused by COVID-19 or by old age or cancer, heart failure, or anything else. Our mortality is because we are fallen people living in a fallen world that should be, for all intents and purposes, called a graveyard. The land of the dying. We are in the land of the dying. That's where we're living. Speaking of dying, in part, in spite of our best efforts to dress up death, death is not natural. Death is not our friend. Death is the final enemy. It's the final enemy we fight against. Look at verse 26. He says, Verse 25, for he, that is Christ, must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And look at that last verse, verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The problem is our mortality. We're born on the wrong side of the spiritual tracks. We're being born into the wrong family. We make wrong choices. And the result of this spiritual death is physical death that threatens to take us down. It could happen anytime, anywhere. And despite our best attempts to delay the inevitable, there is one appointment you will keep. And that is your appointment with the Grim Reaper. Now, in Adam, notice verse 21, by man in Adam. If that was the whole sentence, what a terrible Easter this would be. We'd have every reason to despair. But this morning, even in the midst of a terrible, socially, economically crippling pandemic, we don't despair because there is a second reality that we cling to this morning. The second reality is this. The second reality is the reality of a permanent solution to our problem. There's a problem that we share, but there is also a permanent solution to the problem we have. We've looked at the problem, now let's look at the solution. You know, even as numbers coming in each day of COVID-19 victims feel like tidal waves hitting us again and again, there's another truth that needs to be washing over you this morning, soaking you down to the very core of who you are. Not just today, but as you marinate in this truth every day of your life. Look again at verse 21 and 22. Notice the second part. By man has come also the resurrection of the dead. So also, verse 22, in Christ shall all be made alive. Beloved, the reason we embrace this part of this verse and we hold tight and never let go is this: because Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and he lives forever. If you belong to Jesus Christ, even though you die, you will one day be raised. You will live forever with Jesus. He is the first fruits. We're the crop that's coming. In other words, because of what we celebrate this morning, if your faith and trust is in Christ alone, your mortality has been transformed already into immortality. Friends, Easter is my favorite holiday. I love Easter more than Christmas. I love the beauty of nature during this time. I love the colors and smells of springtime. I love being with my family. I love being with my church family on Easter. And I miss you terribly. I really do. I love the music we sing on Easter. I love the resurrection narratives in the Gospels. But most of all, I love the visual image of the empty tomb. As I read this week, even though churches will be empty this year, nothing can stop the church from commemorating and celebrating the glorious, hope-infused, praiseworthy fact that even though our churches are empty, the tomb is also empty. You got to love the fact that we worship and serve not a dead martyr, but a living Lord who lives and reigns, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at a handful of reasons why we love the empty tomb. I say a handful, there's five. One reason we love the empty tomb is this: the empty tomb reveals a faithful God. The empty tomb reveals a faithful God. You know, after Adam rebelled against God, Genesis 3:15, God says, I'm going to crush evil and wrong for good. Through someone I'm going to send. And then he sends his son to live and to die, to be raised again. You see, the Bible is a record from Genesis to Revelation of a God who divinely micromanaged all events of history so that just at the right moment, Jesus came to earth to fulfill what God promised to do. Because Christ is risen, you can trust this God with every single detail of your life. In the days to come, the trying days to come, you can trust this God. Why? Because He's a faithful God. Notice also the empty tomb reveals not only a faithful God, but a powerful God. One byproduct of this pandemic is we have loss of control. We feel like our hands are tied behind our backs. We're handcuffed. We're helpless. But the resurrection reveals a God who is in total control of everything. All situations, locations, relationships, all those things that guaranteed that Jesus would come to this planet at the time when he came, that Jesus would accomplish his task, do what he was sent to do. Yes, God was in control of that. He was in control of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And then could there be a more pointed demonstration of the power of God than when he raised Jesus from the dead? That power, that word for power in some of the scriptures, the word that's used, dynamite. See, by God's power, Jesus took off his grave clothes. He walked through the walls of solid stone tomb. Death has no power over Jesus. And if you are connected to Christ through repentance and faith, death has no ultimate power over you either. Not only does the empty tomb reveal a faithful and powerful God, but notice also the empty tomb reveals a loving God. A loving God. You know, have you ever asked the question, why would God go to such great lengths, such infinite lengths, to help us? Why does he even care? Why would he sacrifice his own son? Here's why. 1 John 4:7. Because God himself is the very definition of love. Please understand the love of God. God's love is not motivated by what he sees in you and me. There's nothing in us that would make us a first-round draft choice for God. We're not showroom new cars in humanity's car lot. As a matter of fact, we've been totaled by sin. We're not diamonds in the rough. Please understand, God's love is not motivated by what's inside of us. God's love is motivated by what's inside of God. God is at the core of who he is, a loving God. Even when we're unloving, even when we're rebellious, even when we're full of ourselves, even when we're wanting our own way, and that's on a good day, God is still loving. God delights in transforming us by his grace, rescuing us by his love. You see, the resurrection reveals the love of God. Notice also, for the empty tomb guarantees our double resurrection. See, we experience, because of the empty tomb, a double resurrection. Because the tomb is empty, we marinate ourselves in the promise of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace, through the gift of faith, we have been saved. We've been saved from spiritual deadness. We are spiritually alive. We have, in the words of Jesus, crossed over from death to life. That's the first resurrection, crossing over from death to life. We experience, through repentance and faith, the beauty, the glory of the gospel. And you can experience right here, right now, this morning, you can cross over from death to life through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And because the tomb is empty, when we die, we will experience a second resurrection. See, when you die, your soul will go immediately to be with this risen Jesus Christ. And one day, your glorified body, my glorified body, will walk out of the grave. We will walk on fresh turf, the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no virus, no suffering, no death, no pain, no tears. In a word, our future is glorious. I love the lyrics, all the lyrics of "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand." Lately, I've been reflecting on this verse. No chilling winds, no poisonous breath shall reach that helpful shore. Sickness, sorrow, pain, and death are felt and feared no more. I am bound. Through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we are bound for the promised land. One other reason we celebrate and love the empty tomb, the fifth reason, is this. Not only does the resurrection reveal a faithful, powerful, and loving God, not only does the resurrection guarantee a double resurrection for us, but the empty tomb guarantees our security. Our security. See, no matter how unpredictable, no matter how out of control life feels right now, Jesus rules and He will continue to rule. Notice, Jesus must reign, verse 25, until He has put all His enemies under His feet. You know, we cannot avoid the groaning that is part of living in a fallen world. We see that in Romans 8:22. But the empty tomb guarantees that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are totally secure in the love of God in Jesus Christ. Beloved, on this very unusual Easter Sunday morning, April 12, 2020, let's keep our perspective clear. COVID-19 and the threat of death is great, but Jesus is greater. The resurrection is God's greatest answer to our greatest problem. The resurrection is the best news you've ever heard. And this morning, let us together, even in the midst of all that's going on, praise God for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that in spite of our fallenness, in spite of our sin infection, in spite of our spiritual deadness, that we see an empty tomb. And that empty tomb reveals a faithful God who keeps His promises, salvation and eternal life to all who believe in the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. This empty tomb reveals that You are a powerful God that renders death powerless. Because Christ is risen, death has no power over us. This empty tomb reveals a loving God who sent Your Son to give us everlasting life, even though we don't deserve it. Or the empty tomb shows this double resurrection we have. We've been raised from a spiritual graveyard. We are alive in Christ, and one day we will walk on the new heavens and the new earth. We are guaranteed security. Death is destroyed. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this morning that we may embrace the greater truth, the greatest truth revealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.